It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Are you looking for the perfect way to take your brand to the next level? Want to reach a dedicated, engaged audience that's all ears? With AudioHook.com, you can do just that. AudioHook is the premier podcast advertising platform, connecting advertisers with some of the best podcasts in the world. AudioHook uses advanced targeting techniques to ensure your message reaches the right ears at the right time. With detailed analytics, you'll be able to track your campaign's performance and optimize your strategy for maximum impact. Plus, their team of experts are there every step of the way, providing guidance and support to make your campaign a success. So, whether you're a startup, a small business owner, or a marketing pro, AudioHook is your one-stop shop for podcast advertising success. Head over to AudioHook.com to start your journey today.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization.
Border Patrol agents enjoy great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives.
If you are looking for a way to serve something greater than yourself, consider the United States Border Patrol. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
That's cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
Boom! Bosco's Boys is here. I think we all wanted it, and the marriage is officially official. I'm so pumped to bring my show to the 1012 Network. Bosco's Boys, the most consistent K-State podcast out there. Over 4 years with at least one episode a week. Bringing live shows to the listeners and to the participants every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm pumped to be here, and I would love it if you guys came over to Bosco's Boys and gave us a listen. Because we are not Big J Journos. This is a podcast by a fan and his dog for fellow K-State and Big 12 fans, and I can't wait to chop it up with all the members and fans of the 1012 Network.
And welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I am your host, Andy Mitz. It has been way too long since we last podcasted, but a lot has happened. Some seasons that have ended, some other seasons that have gone on, probably a little bit longer than we expected. But in all, we have had a crazy March, as it usually is, but it seems like we took it up to another degree. To help me break down what's happened for the Jayhawks and a little bit about what's been happening around the sport, I have Brendan Dorzynski, one of our analysts over at Blue Wings Rising, and of course, host of 580 Sports Talk over on WIBW-FM over in Topeka. Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. It's, you know, it's a little different this time of year. Usually KU's not playing going into Final Four weekend, and it feels like, wow, the whole world's over. But it's always a little different coming off a national championship. And obviously the women playing their best basketball the whole year in March has made this time of year a little bit easier than it normally is.
Yeah. Look, I came into this year thinking, you know, it's not very likely that Kansas makes it back to the Final Four because it just doesn't happen very often, right? And so I was like, well, I'll probably middle of March or, you know, that second weekend of the tournament, be be like looking at freeing up some time. But hey, guess what? The women are on a huge deep run in the WNIT, are hosting the championship game coming up on Saturday against the Columbia Alliance. And we will talk about the women and where they've gone. But, you know, we're actually going to kind of save that for the end. I like to save the biggest stories for the end. And honestly, I think that's the biggest story going on right now in Kansas athletics. So we'll go ahead and jump in to that one. But first, before we do that, let's take a look at the end of the season for the men, because it was a little bit disappointing. You know, Bill Self not able to coach in that final weekend, and they lost the final game against the Arkansas Razorbacks. A little bit of a nemesis for the Jayhawks, apparently, in the postseason for whatever reason. But they lost that game by just a single point. What were your overall thoughts of the first weekend? Like, I've heard a lot of people say that, man, if Bill Self was there, then they probably win that game, but who knows how much further they would have gone. Is that the general sense that you're getting from this team? And overall, how would you characterize the postseason for them this year?
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, to the chagrin of some Arkansas fans who I heard from, we did over at 580, we did some recap stuff immediately following the game up in Des Moines, and had some Arkansas fans who said, hey, thanks for giving us some respect and telling us we played well. And also some who said, oh, you said Bill Self would have made KU win this game. No, I'm actually 100% certain KU, at the very least, Andy, KU does not get a 30-second violation with a minute and a half to go in a one-score game if Bill Self's on the bench. I mean, certain things like that. Dwan Harris is probably not getting a mind-numbing 10-second call. I mean, just little things like that. The majority of the game you can get by with a Norm Roberts coaching you, and Norm's been doing it for a long time, and he's a good assistant coach. But when you are in crunch time, when you are in figure out how to win this tough game at the very end, you want the best of the best out there. KU didn't have him. And look, it's not, I mean, it is an excuse, but it's not the only reason KU lost, and you do give all the credit to Arkansas. And to be frank, and you alluded to this, and you know me, I've made many predictions on this podcast, over at Blue Wings Rising, previous places where we have written and worked. I am about as ready to pick KU to win any game as anybody. KU would have gotten massacred by UConn in the second round.
Oh,
the
gosh,
way UConn is playing right now. And like that, that's not even a criticism of this KU team. We knew the strengths. We knew the limitations. And look, UConn looks like the best team in the country now. They were in this tournament that has been filled with bad seeds. They were probably the most victimized by underseeding of anyone. And look, I think KU would have gotten bounced in the Sweet 16, to be frank. Now, could they have still gotten to that point? Yeah, it was a disappointment to lose to Arkansas. But overall, going into the tournament, everyone knew the West was a region of death. Everybody knew that the worst possible 1-8 or 9 matchup for KU would have been Arkansas among the teams that were probably going to end up in that regard. You know, to a degree, it is what it is. I'm not really surprised. It was a bummer to see KU up double figures and then to lose the game. That was somewhat painful, but you know, all things considered, not entirely surprised. You know, Dwan Harris gets hurt, and as soon as he was not 100%, things started to turn a little bit. When the big guys got in foul trouble and Norm was exceptionally cautious putting them in the game, that's when things started to turn. I mean, it's very obvious why things went the way they did, and it sucks, but, you know, again, I think even the most homer KU fan would tell you at this point, yeah, once you got to Vegas, things didn't look that great. Still would have liked to have gotten there, but KU probably only had one more game in them, even if they had gotten past Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, when you look at it, like, looking at the bracket that came out, it was littered with teams that would give Kansas problems, playing the way that they right. did. And I'm like, I think if you go into any of those games, it was reasonable to see a path to victory, but it was just as reasonable to see a path for them to lose every single one of those games, with the exception of the first game that they played. And so, yeah, they ran up against an Arkansas team that, you know, look at Arkansas's resume, and they've probably, you know, grayed out as an 8 or 9 seed. Look at the way that they've been playing and all the players that they have back and how healthy they were. They were probably playing a lot more like a 4 or 5 seed at that point. And so for them to be able to pull that one out wasn't necessarily that surprising, especially when, you know, yes, I love what Norm Roberts has done with this team this year in the times when he's had to fill in. And it's great to have a guy like that can fill in a pinch. But you don't replace a Hall of Fame, probably best active coach in the entire sport, you know, and not feel some ramifications of how that, you know, how they play down the stretch, making the right tweaks that you need to keep those big deficits from happening. And you know, let's just be honest as well. This is a team that was prone to just going ice cold for long stretches, no matter what Bill Self did. Sometimes he would be able to get them out of it, but not all the time. And so I don't even necessarily know that the game would have played out a lot differently if Kansas had Bill Self. I do think, though, that like you were talking about, down the stretch, we would not have seen those kind of mistakes. We would not have seen that sort of stuff because Bill Self would have known how to push the right buttons. And it's not to say that Norm Roberts can't get there, but he hasn't had the benefit of, 17 years at the helm of the program or, an entire season worth of fill-in games like Rodney Terry had down at Texas. Like, a lot of people, talked about how the Big 12 championship was, interim coach against interim coach, but you really look at Rodney Terry, that was his team this year. Like, he coached them for all but 8 games, and while he didn't put the roster together, he was there for a good portion of it. So he was essentially taking over and becoming the head coach, whereas Norm Roberts, everybody knew he was kind of filling in for the head coach, and the hope was to get him back. So there's no shame, I think, in losing to an Arkansas team that was probably better than their seeding indicated. And yeah, it's painful the way that it happened, but let's be completely honest. I don't think any reasonable Kansas fan expected them, with the way that this team has played all year long, to be able to make a run all the way to the title, much less probably get out of, the West bracket with UConn sitting there. And then, you're looking at either Gonzaga or UCLA on the other side if you had made it that far. Like, this Kansas team was not set up, I think, to make that huge deep run.
No, I think as much as it sucks, and look, I'll be blunt, I picked KU to go all the way in my bracket because I have every year since I was in sixth grade.
Right, like, exactly.
It is what it is. But there were just you needed this KU team to have everything go right. And if everything did go right all at the same time, that includes Jalen Wilson being a first-team All-American and not, going 17 minutes without a field goal in the second half. That includes Grady Dick getting open and making shots. You need McCullough to be great defensively and make an impact offensively. Harris has to be his normal defensive self, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, as well as an aggressive player offensively. And you need probably 10-6, 12-7-ish from KJ Adams. If all that can happen, and, Joe Yesufu to not be really bad and Bobby Pettiford to give you anything, Uday to give you something, like a little sprinkle off the bench. If all of that was clicking, and we did see that at times this year, KU was as good as anyone. The problem is when something was off, if Jalen didn't have a great night, or if you got zero production from your bench, or if you had, no matchup inside, or KJ Adams and Ernest Uday getting major foul trouble inside, then things started to spiral. And I appreciate that KU kept that game close. They fought to the very end, but in the moment, it's easy to jump on and say, oh, no, this team can beat anyone. This team, no matter what the matchup looks like, no matter who's on the sideline, this team is going to be fine. In retrospect, I think it's a little bit clearer and easier to say, yeah, I can understand why this didn't work. Or, yeah, I can understand why truthfully, a team that was as hyper-athletic and as hyper-talented as Arkansas, would give KU problems. And I think we saw all of those potential pitfalls really play out over the course of those 40 minutes.
Well, and look at the way that this team has had to succeed compared to last year's team. Last year's team, they had a fairly deep rotation, and then when it came time to shore it up during the NCAA tournament, they had three huge guys that they knew they could count on coming off the bench. This team had basically no bench. Like, Yesufu, I think, was the best guy coming off the bench, and Ernest Uday, the best guy down low, but Uday had some issues. I mean, he definitely was a nice change of pace and provided some more size, but he did have some problems with foul trouble at times. And, Joseph Yesufu was as streaky as you can possibly get as a three-point shooter. I like to call him Joey Buckets because it was just fun to say, but there were definitely times where, the lid was on the basket for way too long when he was trying to shoot. And so Kansas did not have a bench that they could rely on this year to get them out of tough spots. And we saw that happen against Arkansas. They didn't have that extra piece to go to. They didn't have that guy to come off the bench and give them a spark like a Remy Martin could or and any number of other guys on the previous teams. And so Kansas had a very, very small margin of error. They didn't necessarily need everything to go right, but they couldn't have more than two, major things go wrong. They couldn't have Grady Dick be off and DeJuan Harris have an off game or, Jalen Wilson get into a little bit of foul trouble and have Joseph Yesufu not come off the bench and light it up. Like, they needed a lot of stuff to happen for them to go deep. And so, yeah, I don't think it was that big of an issue. Like, I think this is this kind of just showed what a reloading year looks like for the Jayhawks. I mean, anytime you can go in as a one seed into the NCAA tournament with a regular season conference title, it means that you probably had a successful season. Yes, the tournament is a crapshoot. The Big 12 tournament, you know, ran into some weird situations there that meant that they couldn't get that title there. But, you know, these are the kind of things that happen in college basketball. In a sport with such high variance in the postseason, you're going to see these things happen. It's not really that big of a deal, you know, if we're being completely honest. And you now look at all the players that have entered the transfer portal, and that kind of, like, shows you, if so many players enter the transfer portal, it means, one, they probably, you know, they probably couldn't rely on them this year because they would have played more. And two, there probably is not a path for them to have a significant contribution in the future. And so if you have a bench that's full of those types of players, which doesn't make them bad players, it just doesn't make them great fits for what Kansas wants to do, then it's going to be difficult, I think, to make deep runs. And so, you know, I think it's five at the last count that I saw that have entered the transfer portal already. We might have had another one, you know, just enter while we're recording, because that's the way these things typically work, is, you know, we say that it's for certain here and something happens. But, you know, Yesufu, Pettiford, Cam Martin, I believe, Zach Clements, and then MJ Rice was the last one, I believe, that entered the transfer portal. Did I miss anybody, or did I throw somebody in the transfer portal that isn't actually there yet?
No, I mean, in terms of guys who are actually in already, it is those five. And this is not a report, but I think a lot of people at this point, no matter what level of tied in they are, expect there to be one more. Personally, and this is, again, not a report, just opinion.
Right.
I would be shocked if Kyle Cuff is a member of this team in the near and certainly long-term future. I think a lot of folks believe that to be the sixth man who's going to jump in. But yeah, it's those five for now. And you really got to the point, Andy. I mean, like, look, I understand that a lot of people wanted these guys to be good, or the idea of them was really good. But, you know, and, oh, man, I wish MJ had stayed, or I wish Yesufu had stayed for another year, or Clements. Like, look, I understand the desire for these guys to work out, and you pour energy into following their recruiting and then their freshman year. And, oh, my God, these guys were part of a championship team. And then second year, when they maybe start to see the floor a little bit more, sometimes it just doesn't work. And frankly, this team got bounced to the second weekend of the NCAA, or the first weekend, second round of the NCAA tournament. Most of these guys did not have a big impact, or at times made too much of a negative impact. And you just go down the line. Like, Cam Martin was the first one. This is not a shot at Cam Martin, but it was a weird fit from the beginning. I got to see Cam play in person. I've told you this before, when he was at Missouri Southern, when he would go play against Washburn at the D2 level. MIAA, great D2 league. Honestly, some years probably better than some of the worst Division I leagues. Cam was an incredible scorer at the Division II level. Not a big defense guy. Not the world's greatest athlete either. It was always kind of a weird fit, and obviously the injuries really screwed him over, but not a surprise there.
Wait. You mean a guy that's not great at defense didn't work out in a Bill Self system that is predicated on defense?
Yeah, and maybe didn't earn his trust right away. Yeah, shocking. But, you know, maybe guarding players from Pitt State and Rogers State, maybe not a great defensive fit in the Big 12. But, you know, Yesufu, we know. Like, I wanted Joe to work out as badly as anybody. I tweeted the Yesufu agenda in all caps. I can't even count how many times during the season. But, I mean, guys, we saw him play this year, and it's just not going to work out for him at KU, or probably a program the KU caliber.
And I mean, look at, you know, Yesufu came in because he was supposed to be a point guard that could score, that could find his own shot, but also get other people's shots. And that right now is not the style of point guard that Bill Self wants. I think the idea of bringing him in is, one, you needed backup point guard help, and the hope was that he could develop into a kind of that secondary guard where he, you know, does ball handling when you need it, but otherwise he's a scorer. Unfortunately, it just was never consistent enough. Bobby Pettiford, a great example of a guy, you know, along with Cam Martin, and then also Kyle Cuff, if he does enter the transfer portal, those three are all very similar in that, you know, they probably had a role, a very specific niche role that was set out for them. Injuries kind of derailed that, made it really hard for anybody to trust that they were going to be available. And, you know, with how many problems Kansas had with bench this year, you cannot rely on multiples of those guys to be able to stay healthy. So if you are going to be down two players that are probably going to have some health issues, you know, then unfortunately you can't have those two roster spots eaten up by guys that just aren't available to play. And so Pettiford, I think, had a lot of promise, but again, his entire career at Kansas was derailed by injuries. He had a really hard time getting on the court, and when he was on the court, he had a hard time staying on the court. And so, you know, those are not surprising. The one that surprised me a little bit was Zach Clements, but,
you know, the more that I think about it, he gave Kansas something unique, but again, and with a team that is still trying to establish its identity, I think it makes sense why he would move on. You know, go find a school that's a better fit for the way that you want to play, the way that you're very talented at playing. Kansas, you know, they have a ton of stretch big men, but they really need to double down on having more big men that play down in the post. I think the biggest surprise, I was a little surprised at MJ Rice and kind of a little disappointed that MJ Rice decided to move on. You know, he is a guy that I had was really excited for. I thought maybe he could have, especially, you know, I thought he was another guy that got derailed by an early injury, but the hope was that he was going to, you know, be able to come back, play some big minutes towards the end of the year and then develop for next year. Unfortunately, you know, that didn't end up happening, but, you know, it's not like Kansas is going to be left with a bare cupboard. I mean, they have a few guys coming back, so there'll be a lot of holes to fill, but they have a really talented freshman class coming in. And we saw what, you know, Bill Self has done in the last 2 years with the transfer portal. So I'm not necessarily worried about what's going to happen next year. Any of those freshmen though, that you see coming in that you think are going to have gigantic impacts on this team next year?
I think the number one is El Marco. And I know that sounds like the easy pick because he's the top ranked recruit in the class. And it is a good class. You mentioned it. It's either, and I haven't checked in the last few days, but it's either fifth or sixth best in the nation this year per the 24/7 composite. So it's a really good class, even if there's not, you know, a true superstar recruit in it. But I think it's El Marco both because of his potential and because of need. I know he's naturally more of a point guard, but I think it's very obvious if he is demanding, I'm only going to play point guard minutes. Okay, well, great. You're going to get 8 minutes a game because one of the best point guards in the country is ahead of you and DeJuan Harris. Like, that's not going to happen. But as that secondary ball handler, and we know how much KU loves to have that player and how much that has worked for KU over the last decade or so now, I think that two guard combo secondary ball handler role is going to get him possibly at this point, maybe probably starting minutes at the beginning of the year. I think he's going to have to fill that role because there's so little depth returning at the guard spots. I mean, it's really DeJuan and the freshmen who are going to be in those spots because Pettiford and Yesufu and all those guys and MJ left. So I think because of necessity, he's going to have that role. But man, I'm not going to pretend that I'm, you know, one of these super into high school and AAU tape guys, but you watch him, there's some real spark, there's some real bounce there, and you can tell that there's something different. Some guys, it comes a little bit later, or some guys it looks like they've got it and it just never shows up, or they've already athletically peaked or whatever. I really do think El Marco is going to be a nice player. Now, is he going to be as good of a scorer right off the rip as Grady Dick? I don't know. That's hard to do. He was a really darn good scorer, even though there were some times when he got shut down for various reasons in Big 12 play. I don't know that he's going to be that kind of scorer right away, but I do think his ball handling ability, I think his athleticism are really going to be important for this team. And I mean, go back and look at this roster. If there's one thing that you needed to add to this year's team, what would it have been? Either more three-point shooting or, more importantly, more athleticism. And I think that's what El Marco is going to give you. The other guys might have a role. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them, maybe not redshirt, because in the era of the free transfer, it's really hard to get guys to redshirt, I think. Virginia is going through that right now, in fact, with Trout, who's likely going to end up at Creighton. But I think you're going to get at least a couple of those guys, like Marcus Adams. I don't know if he's going to be able to contribute right away, but there's a lot of potential there. So I think you might see a little bit of those guys, especially early in the year. But if you were to ask me, all right, one guy who is going to have to step up and is going to be competent in that role, I think El Marco is the easy answer.
Well, I mean, El Marco, when you looked at it, like when he was being recruited, when he committed, he talked about he didn't have a specific role that he was looking at. He didn't have a specific thing that he wanted or that he had to do in order to be happy. He wanted to come in. He expects to spend a few years here at Kansas, really develop his game, find ways to help the team win, and show all the different things that he can do, which is the kind of attitude that you want coming in. Now, if he comes in and lights it up in his first year and then gets drafted because, you know, he's just absolutely phenomenal, I'm not going to begrudge the guy for leaving, but he came in with the right attitude of, I need to find my role in this system. I'm not coming in to take over for guys that have already been there. Bill Self, in general, doesn't usually allow that unless you're just heads above the guys that you're supposedly replacing. I mean, yeah, Marco Jackson has pretty much everything that you need, but he is not the only guy that's coming in that has a lot of upside. And there are a ton of people out in the transfer portal that are great targets to go after. I'm not even going to try to predict at all who Kansas is going to go after here because, one, there's a ton of names, and they're going to have a ton of scholarships available. So, you know, they are going to have a ton of different options that they can look at, just like you have a ton of options with the sponsor here on the podcast, Home Field Apparel. Home Field Apparel, the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel anywhere. T-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, joggers, a whole bunch more. They have more than 140 different schools, and they keep adding new stuff all the time. They just did a whole bunch of refreshes. They had their third month mania promotion where you were getting a mystery box of different shirts from different teams that were in the tournaments. That is over, but it was a fantastic thing. And they have tons of deals going on all the time. If you use promo code CHALK12, you can get 15% off your entire first order when you go over to Home Field Apparel. So make sure you go find tons of Kansas stuff. I think at this point, I probably have one of everything in the Kansas line. It's all that great. It's all that comfortable. And the logos are fantastic. So head on over to homefieldapparel.com. Promo code CHALK12 will get you 15% off that entire first order. All right. Before we jump over to the women, any final thoughts about the men?
Yeah, the one thing is that I think it's important to know, just don't be too worried if you don't see any major commitments to KU in the immediate future. We have joked for years, right, about Spring Bill Self and the recruits he's been able to get during the latter part of the spring. It's not like, you know, Andrew Wiggins was an early commit, right? I know he's not the only example. Remember Kevin McCullough committing last year in May? That was one of the biggest gets in the portal of anybody. I mean, it's hard to find guys that good, that caliber of player in the portal. So take some time. Do not worry too much if some of the big names that are in the portal right now end up not committing to KU. They go elsewhere. They return to school, like some of the Ole Miss guys, whatever. Don't worry too much about it, because the other thing to keep in mind, there are guys who are going to go through the draft process who have entered the portal but are also going to try out what the NBA draft process is like. Maybe they get great reviews and they're going to be a late first round pick and they decide to go, or maybe they end up saying, you know what, I need another year, but the school where I am currently isn't going to prepare me in the right way. Maybe I'll go try KU. Maybe Bill Self is the one to get me there. Look at the guys he's gotten to develop and become NBA caliber players, or just pro caliber players in general. So I understand the worry that, oh my God, we have all these scholarships and another guy might enter the portal and we've got to figure this out. We need to prepare. Just take some time. And I know this sounds, you know, very bootlicky, but trust Bill Self. He has had all the success and he is a Hall of Famer for a reason. If we're having this discussion in late June instead of late March, okay, then maybe it's panic time. But right now, there's still way too much time to get too worried about guys who are or are not committing.
Well, I mean, yeah, technically the season is still going, right? We haven't had the championship game yet.
Right.
So a lot of that movement happens. A lot of, you know, once the NIT is over, once the NCAA tournament's over, coaches will make final decisions, especially for those that are still kind of in the middle of stuff right now. And players will start to make decisions, and players need some time to decide what they're going to do, where they're going to go. You know, Kansas, I think I've seen Kansas linked to probably about 15 or 16 different transfers right now at this point. And honestly, I like any collection of them would probably be good. You know, it would be different if we were taking some, you know, random coach, or, you know, talking about a coach that didn't have the kind of record of getting guys to fit his system like Bill Self did. But Bill Self has a track record of, you know, you look at Remy Martin, you look at Kevin McCullough, like you look at a lot of the guys that he's been able to bring in that I wasn't necessarily sure about. Like Remy Martin was, you know, he was highly touted as a transfer, but there was a lot of questions, right, about whether, you know, would he be able to come into the system and do what he needed to do? And obviously the role that he ended up taking on was a lot different than what we expected coming in, but they were able to find the pieces they needed and then create the system around them to be successful. And Bill Self is one of the masters at that. That's why he has been at the top of the sport for so long. So I am not worried about it at all. I definitely agree with you. All right, I do want to jump over to the women, but before we do that, I need to throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Welcome one, welcome all, and you are listening live to the one, the only Tortillas and Takes Podcast.
From football to softball to track and field, tune in to get the best coverage in everything that is Texas Tech.
Not only that, but find out what unsuspecting star we get to interview and put on the hot seat.
Whether you like corn or flour, eating them or throwing them, this tortilla is for you. So listen to Tortillas and Takes.
And as always, stay wrecked, people.
And we're back. I am here with Brendan Dorzinski, one of our analysts over at Blue Wings Rising. We just got done talking about the men and the end of their season, but there is a season for the Jayhawks that is still going on for basketball, and that is the women's basketball team. They have now won 5 straight games in the WNIT, all at Allen Fieldhouse. They are hosting the WNIT Championship this Saturday at 4:30 in Allen Fieldhouse. If you're not already planning on being there, then find a way to get there because it is absolutely fantastic basketball to watch. It is really enjoyable. And, of course, Kansas had some big players step up. I think what's been most impressive for me, though, for this Jayhawk team going through the NIT is that it's been different players and different combinations of players in pretty much every single game. Just as a quick recap, you know, they blew out Western Kentucky in their first game. They completely demolished Missouri in the second game. They were able to kind of string together what they needed to pull out for a double-digit victory against Nebraska. And then they just completely shut down anything Washington was trying to do. That's even skipping over the Arkansas game that was billed by a lot of people as the quote-unquote revenge game. But the women's team wanted absolutely nothing to do with that. As they put it, they don't concern themselves with any boys' teams. So they have shown an attitude, I think, that shows why they've been so formidable. I think they've really shown that the Big 12 got disrespected in the entire selection process. And they probably should have been in the NCAA tournament, but the fact that they are still playing at this point is not something they probably would have been able to say if they were in the NCAA tournament. So overall, what have your impressions been of this women's team?
I mean, it's incredible, frankly. And as someone who, you know, I follow the women's team, obviously I know what is going on with this women's team, but you know, I see them getting the women's NIT. And I know we had the quote from Travis Goff about we were the last team out, not making it into the NCAA tournament. And I saw the first couple of games and thought, all right, no, this is nice. You win a couple of postseason games. You feel good going into next year. This is a great way to round out the season, but it feels like they're playing better. Like every single game, something else just jumps off the page. And this most recent one, the national semifinal, the Fab Four against Washington, they gave up 36 points in a 40-minute game. I don't care if that's men's basketball, women's basketball, preps. I don't care. That's phenomenal to give up just 36 points in 40 minutes. And that's the thing that has really stood out, has been the defensive presence in all of these games. And yes, they're getting theirs offensively. A lot of buckets in transition, a lot of good looks. The offense is clicking right now. But it's the fact that the defense has played so well. And against Washington, look, I know they weren't good enough to make it to the NCAA tournament, but you still are playing in a postseason tournament. You are from a high major conference. Obviously, that's a good team. They held them, and I've got the numbers up in front of me here, 15 of 62 overall from the floor, yeah. 0 of 10 from 3. First of all, 0 of 10 from 3, you hold an opponent to that, you're going to win most games. But they shot under 29% from 2. That is partially bad luck, and some of the shot selection from Washington was just piss poor.
But that's also the thing.
KU making some great plays inside.
Right, like it was a combination of, like, I think a lot of the three-point shooting, one, they're not a great three-point shooting team anyway. So, no. You know, my expectation was that they would probably hold them to, like, you know, 2 or 3 out of 12 or so shots. To make them go scoreless was definitely, I think, just as much Washington not being able to shoot at all as it was, you know, Kansas. But Kansas didn't give them any good shots, with the exception of, like, the last 3 minutes where they left wide open threes, you know, there because they were just trying to, you know, keep Washington from going inside and getting fouls. There were no really good shots for Washington from beyond the arc. And then inside, like, this is a Washington team that makes their bread and butter on getting inside. You know, they have three mm-hmm. different post players that all play at the same time. They're all three starters. Like, they have three forwards that start. They play inside. They do a lot of stuff inside. And Kansas was keeping them from doing pretty much anything. You know, I thought what was also impressive was they knew that Washington had a great defense, because Washington does. Like, that's what their calling card is the defense. They hold teams to not very many points, under 60 points on average. Kansas only scored 61, but, I mean, they had, you know, they were blocked 9 times by Washington. They only got 4 blocks. I think 3 of them came from Tyana. One of them came from Nadira, yeah. But, you know, they were out-rebounded. Washington had, like, 21 offensive rebounds, something ridiculous like that. So 20 offensive rebounds, but they out-rebounded Kansas by 13 in the game. Like, that is ridiculous that they got out-rebounded by that much and won by, you know, they almost doubled them up. Like, that's how crazy this game was. And so really, I just think what was most impressive was the number of times that Kansas was able to get their off or their defense to spark something on the offense. They forced 21 turnovers, which is high even for a Washington team that isn't really known for taking care of the ball very much, and got 24 points off of it. You know, defense has been the calling card of this team, and I think a lot of people took that for granted when they played in the Big 12, because the Big 12 has a lot of really good offenses that, you know, everybody in the Big 12 took a hit to their defensive numbers when they played in the Big 12 because of how great those offenses are. And so Kansas has been playing really well. I think they showed that they would have been a worthy selection if they had decided to actually take them. But I think in a way, this is probably actually better for the long-term program, because you get this postseason experience, you get, you know, extra experience for the bench players. You know, the fire that you see from these seniors, and every single player on the roster right now is eligible to return if they want to. So, like, that's the craziest part about this, is that while I don't expect, you know, like, Holly Kersgeter went through senior night, that's not a guarantee that she's gone. Tyana Jackson and Zakiya Franklin did not go through senior night. That's not necessarily a guarantee that they're back, but this is, I could see Kansas returning a good portion of this team, or the vast majority of this team, and looking to go on another run next year.
Yeah, and you know, the extra practice time is valuable. Well, I was talking about that with bowl games, right? That's extremely valuable on the football side of things, yeah. Because you want young guys to practice. Even if guys are going to, you know, sit out for the draft or sit out for because they're transferring, whatever, you want the extra practice time, and that's extremely valuable. I know Lance Leipold talked about that a bunch for KU in the Liberty Bowl this year. Same thing with this KU team. I mean, one, you end up winning a postseason tournament and not a pay-to-play tournament. That's a big freaking deal, and I mean, 2009 was the last time KU was in the WNIT championship. It was at Allen Fieldhouse, one of the best-selling women's games, maybe the best-selling women's game of all time at the Old Barn. I would expect a crowd very similar coming up on Saturday, but that's a side point. Getting this extra time is extremely valuable. And yeah, if you can bring back any number of these players, I mean, I would not guess that Holly Kersgeter will come back, but if she does, hell yeah, that's even better. You're in an even better spot next year. And the two players you mentioned who did not go through, that leads me to believe maybe there is a good chance that they're back. Getting that extra time to play together, to, I mean, shoot, even if it's not working on anything new, just to continue playing with that chemistry, continue playing, build positive momentum going into next year, give yourselves a reason to feel optimistic. I mean, that's what we talked about going into the year, right? That last year, coming off that first NCAA tournament appearance in whatever it was, 7 years, 8 years, like, that's huge. That's great momentum going into the next year. Same thing here. Is it a snub you didn't get into the NCAA tournament? Yeah, of course it is. But can you go and say you should have put us in because look how well we're playing right now? That means something. We all know great athletes love to feel snubbed, and I would imagine that Holly and Zakiya and this entire group feel the same way, and you know Brandon Schneider does too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and let's be honest. Like, yes, they probably should have been in, but it wasn't something that the entire conference dealt with being underseeded or under-respected pretty much the entire year. You didn't hear a lot about the Big 12, even though it was probably one of the toughest conferences, playing that double round robin, you know, kind of the way everything's set up. And, you know, Texas was the only team that hosted for the women from the Big 12. And so to say that Texas was the only team in the top 16 teams in the entire nation, I think is kind of ridiculous, and showed, like, was a good indicator that stuff was going to be a problem for Kansas. But, you know, you look and Texas Tech made a run in the WNIT, got, you know, a couple rounds deep. Kansas State went a couple rounds deep. In fact, the two other Big 12 teams that made the WNIT were both eliminated by teams that just came to Allen Fieldhouse and went ahead and, you know, and actually lost to the Jayhawks. So, but, you know, I think this is kind of a best case scenario, in that you could have gone to the NCAA tournament. It would have been the second in a row. Yes, you like to go to the NCAA tournament, but I don't think they would have gotten nearly as much experience. I don't think they would have gotten nearly as much in terms of positive, you know, things they could build off of. And so I think that this probably, in terms of looking to the future, this is going to have a bigger impact. And then just the fan support too, you know, getting fans to come out for these games, to see them perform this well in these games. That's the kind of thing that, you know, Chandler Prater was talking about, Holly Kersgeter was talking about. Being here, watching those as young girls, being, you know, watching those as kids, really helped them to fall in love with the sport, fall in love with the university. And, you know, I think the expectation for next year is that you know, they get bigger crowds, that this is a team that is going to continue to build that momentum. Obviously, they have to be able to continue to follow it up with good results. But I can't think that this is anything other than positive momentum for them. They're going to face a very tough Columbia Lions team on Saturday. But, you know, looking at the way everything is set up, I have a hard time imagining that Kansas is not going to win that game. I mean, yes, I would. It's definitely a possibility that they could lose it, but the way they've been playing at home, the way that that crowd support has really energized them, I think is going to be a big boost for them. And to be able to finish off this season with a win in Allen Fieldhouse to win a championship, even if it's not the NCAA championship, has to be a positive thing for the team and a positive thing for all the players.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I mean, the final thought I've got on it, and you touched on the fan support. If you've got the time, if you've got the finances to make it happen, go see the game. They are playing extremely well right now. It's an extremely likable team. It's a team that has been together for a while. You know, in an era of college basketball where teams are not together for, you know, for all that long, this team has been together for a while. The core has been together. It's an easy to root for team. Go watch the game if you can. I mean, it's going to be on TV. It'll be on the CBS Sports Network. But if you're able to go to Allen Fieldhouse, you're in Lawrence or you're in the greater KC area, you're out west, you're further south in Wichita. If you've got the resources to make this happen, go watch because it's good basketball. It's not, yeah, well, it's the women's team. No, this is good basketball. And they are worth your time. They are worth your energy.
And that's the thing. Like, you may have your own, you know, preconceived notions about what women's basketball is. I can tell you right now, you are absolutely wrong. It is high-quality basketball. It is just as entertaining, especially seeing what a lot of these teams can do. And the way that this team plays defense, I don't care if you're the men or the women, you play defense to that level, it is something that gets you energized. By the way, tickets are like $10 to $15. And so, you know, we're not looking at $100, $150, you know, ticket prices like you typically would see against, you know, with the men. So, right now, though, from what I can tell, almost the entire lower bowl is sold out, and a few sections up in the upper bowl are also sold out. So there's a lot of seats awesome. That are taken, but a lot of seats that are still available. Go find yourself some good ones. Come support this team. I can guarantee that you will enjoy yourself when you're there. So, all right, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you, Brendan, so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have not already, please do go out wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the other million apps that are out there. Just search for Rock Chalk Podcast. You can subscribe, get every episode as soon as it comes out. Give us a rating and a review, 5 stars, nice comments would be absolutely fantastic. But if for whatever reason you can't do that, let us know what it is we can be doing better. We really do bring the podcast to you guys, get you all the information you need in as entertaining a way as possible. So if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, people you want to try to interview, anything like that, you can contact me by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at rockchalkpod. We are part of the 10-12 Podcast Network covering all the teams in the Big 12 Conference, including a lot of the new ones that are coming in. So go to 1012network.com. You can get links to all the great shows we have there. Make sure you are also following all the work that we're doing over at Blue Wings Rising, covering all of these teams. We've had, you know, some scheduling difficulties with all of the stuff that's going on, but we have great baseball coverage right now. Obviously, women's basketball coverage. We'll be picking up a lot of football and basketball offseason coverage as well here very shortly. So BlueWingsRising.com for all of that. Make sure you guys visit our sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Promo code CHALK12 gets you a great deal over there. But Brendan, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you guys next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Podcast Network.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.